Hey everybody, Shane Presley with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I've got some very exciting news to share with you. If you haven't seen the announcement on the Facebook and Instagram pages, I am proud to announce the 5th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show happening June 22nd at Broadway Oyster Bar featuring Amanda Fish Band, Tony Campanella, and Odds Lane. We'll also have some live art happening from a friend of the show, Jessica Hitchcock. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. So join us Saturday, June 22nd. It's a 10 o'clock start and $8 at the door. Also coming up, I want to tell you about my show over at Naked Vine. This is my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. And on May 14th, I'll be joined out there by my friends Karen Choi, Billy Crogan, and Tony Compton of Les Gruff and the Billy Goat. So this is my intimate singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. Again, all three artists sitting on stools sharing stories behind these songs. It's really, these have been really incredible. So join us out there at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri. You can come on out there to Naked Vine this week with some great live music. On Thursday, April 25th, Adam Gaffney makes his debut out there. On Friday, April 26th, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. And on Saturday, April 27th, Big Mike Aguirre. All this information and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And again, check them all out there, Naked Vine. They're doing some really great stuff with some live local music, plenty of wine, whiskey, tequila, and beer. It's a great little hangout out there. So check it out, Chesterfield, Missouri. I also want to tell you about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club. If you haven't checked it out yet, head on over to josephmeyerclub.com today and try out their brand new foaming aftershave. I've been using it myself, and I love it, and I think you guys will too. You can enter my promo code RPPJMC20 at checkout for an exclusive 20% off. Again, it's RPPJMC20, and there's always free shipping, so keep that in mind, and be sure to tell them Shane sent you. Again, head over to josephmeyerclub.com. Follow along on Facebook for more details. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Have a great day.
Podcast is kind of like a—it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Susie Q, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at St. Louis Style House on Cherokee with Susie Q. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
This is cool. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I'm actually hanging out here at the shop. This is the second one I've done here at the shop, so it's cool to be back over here. Obviously, I hung out with Jeff and Randy a while back and had a great time talking about everything down here at Style House. So,
yeah. My bosses.
Yeah. I'm sure that's pretty wild working for those guys.
It's so fun. Oh my God. It's a constant adventure.
But we do, we have a lot going on for you. We have a brand new album. We have a big release party. We got a lot of things happening. So this is very appropriate timing for us to hang out again and talk. Yeah. And let's just dive right into it. We got May 11th.
Yes.
At Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
With Susie Q, Bruiser Queen, and Justin Johnson.
Yeah.
And Justin's playing with... Will Gottfried.
I think, yes. Yep. That sounds right.
And so it's going to be a great night. And, of course, you'll have your brand new album available that evening.
Finally.
Yeah.
So excited. So, yeah, the new album is called The Bridges Were Already Burning, which funny enough, it started as a joke title. Because I think I put something up on Facebook about, like, wouldn't it be so funny to just make an album about, like, burning all these bridges with people? And, you know, of course, a bunch of people were like, do it!
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And then it actually happened. I was like, oh, that's not usually how that works.
Right.
But all right.
I got a laugh out of it because I saw it when I was listening to that and I saw your title. But I was listening to a podcast the other day with this guy, Tone Bell. He's a comedian and been on a bunch of different sitcoms. Mm. But all these sitcoms have been canceled after one season. you know, they're just nothing's, yeah. For whatever reason. You know, he gets a lot of great opportunities. A lot of people don't even get to that far.
Right.
You know, after the
sitcoms are hard.
Yeah, but a lot of them, there's none of them, nothing's lasted. Stuck, yeah. So anyway, he did a comedy special and he goes, "Can't cancel this" or something like that. That's what it's called, or you know, something like that.
Oh, that's amazing. He's like the Johnny Vegas of sitcoms.
Yeah, right.
Like Johnny Vegas works at a bar and it closes. This guy works on a sitcom and it gets canceled.
Right.
Sorry, so, Johnny Vegas.
Yeah.
Love you.
But I just love that he would, you know, throw it out there, like, you know, and let's call him out. But
that's hilarious.
I really enjoyed the record. I got to listen to it twice now. And,
thank you.
I listened to it yesterday and today. Just kind of getting ready for this. And we've got eight tracks, right?
Yeah, eight tracks.
Yeah, with an intro and on there and all that.
Intro and an outro. Yeah. Whoa. I got super fancy this time. So it's eight tracks, but including the intro and outro. So it's like six real songs. And then, you know, some an epilogue and prologue.
Yeah. I did, and I enjoy just even looking at the titles because they made me laugh.
I know, right?
And there seemed to be a little bit of a trend throughout the record, a little more some anger in there and stuff.
Definitely.
There was definitely some bridges burning. So.
Yeah, for sure. I figure if it's the theme, you know, I'm definitely a '90s kid where, you know, I grew up like with concept albums and like an album, you know, like you listen to it from beginning to end, and I'm one of those people too, especially records I had like in the '90s, you know, where you hear a song and gets the end, and you hear the next song on the album because you're just so used to that track listing. Great example is some No Doubt songs. Like they just go right into each other. And so I really miss people, you know, and like now we're in this age where people just put out singles or they just throw some shit together or whatever it is. And that's cool. Like put your art out however you want to put it out. But I really still enjoy the idea of like putting out an album that has like a theme and it takes you on a journey in some way. So I feel for like sure. That's kind of what this is. Like if you listen front to back, there's sort of a story there, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also just enjoyed. Hopefully, it's not a spoiler, but there's Better Off, and then Fuck Off, and then, like I just like.
I know. So. That was sort of an accident. I was like trying to just conceptually think about the songs themselves and be like, all right, what's the logical like, what's the plot? Like, what is happening in a linear way in this album? And so those two just ended up having to be next to each other where it was like, okay, you come to the realization Better Off is I'm better off alone and you are too. Like, we're way better off apart than together. And then Fuck Off is kind of this, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a song where you're like, this person is totally fucking toxic for me and I just need them to fuck off right now. They've got to go. So you go from like the sad part where you're like, oh, I'm really better off without this person to like the angry part where you're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck that person. Yeah. And eventually it resolves itself where you're like, that's, and then that suitcase
right. Is
the next song where you're like, hey, I have all this baggage now. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Better Off. We did actually played live acoustic here on the show. So you can hear that version of the song, but obviously, it's pretty similar, I guess, to what you were putting out on the record. The whole record overall, I felt, was pretty minimalist. You know, a lot of just acoustic guitar or ukulele and stuff, and there wasn't...
Yeah, there's more arrangements on this one than my previous albums, right. But I played all the instruments. And it's not, you know, it's not like super duper elaborate, obviously.
Right.
It's not full band stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Better Off especially, it's just acoustic guitar and vocals, and then there's some like strings in the background, mm-hmm. So... pretty chill.
Yeah. So you kind of got into it a little bit, but is there anything else we want to know about Better Off?
It's actually, if I'm not mistaken, it's the oldest song on the album. as far as when I wrote them, and I've been playing it out the most. So, and sort of the funny thing, so I was saying earlier, you know, there's sort of a theme and a plot to the album. Now, that said, they're not all about the same thing or the same person. Like, they're sort of, they're about some different people, and some of them aren't really about any specific person. They're just sort of about an idea. But there are three songs on that album that are about the same person. And so interestingly enough, to come back to Better Off, this guy that I wrote these three particularly mean songs about, when he and I were dating briefly, but I was just starting to play Better Off out at shows and stuff. And for some reason, that was his, like, when he would take little Instagram videos and shit of me playing, he would always get that song. And I finally, after like the third or fourth time he posted that song, I'm like, can you post a different song? Like, you always post the same song, and it's so weird. He's like, I know, but I really like that song, which was nice. I was like, oh, well, that's nice. But then in retrospect, I was like, that might have been a red flag about that relationship. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that your boyfriend likes the song about you both being better off alone, and then he dumps you abruptly. Like, I probably should have seen that coming, to be honest. But what are you going to do? All right. I got some really great songs out of it, so. Yeah.
like where it's like, don't Taylor Swift me or anything, like where, like, you know, you write a song about after your breakup and stuff, like, do you ever go through any of that, or does anybody
Yeah, sort of. So I've actually joked that I T-Swifted this dude. So I'm really glad you brought that up. But which is funny because I don't really listen to Taylor Swift. But she's just sort of like so ubiquitous now. Yeah, right. Like we all know.
I mean, obviously everybody knows her, but it's like, yeah, it's such like a, you know, it's the joke that she writes the heartbreak, you know, records and stuff.
Totally.
But, well, I guess it was. Her newer stuff isn't. It's still pop, but...
But wasn't there, like, an entire album where she was just, calling out? I don't know if it was the same dude or different dudes or what.
But she's
like,
just got
it. She name drops, too. Yeah. I'm like, girl.
Right.
That's cool. I try not to. I'm not always great at it. It depends on the audience. But I try not to write them into the songs. But yeah, no, interestingly, so Ain't That Some Shit, which is the second track on the album, when I wrote it, the aforementioned person who liked Better Off, who I wrote three songs about, that's one of them that's about him. And so when I wrote it, he and I, like, we'd broken up, but we remained friends for a while until we didn't. And so I kind of sat on that song for a few months because it was, I legitimately felt, like, really guilty about writing it because it was a very honest song, and it was written in a weird way, which we can talk about later, but as far as the lyrics, but I felt really bad because it's kind of a mean song. And so I was really hesitant to play it out, and I sort of felt like I was talking about him behind his back by playing this song. So I just kind of sat on it for a few months, and then maybe like 4 or 5 months later, he and I got in this huge fight, and so we were gonna not talk anymore. We kind of mutually were like, maybe we just should not do any of this anymore. Goodbye. And so me trying to have my, like, awesome, like, dramatic mic drop moment, because I'm an asshole like that, like, you know, we're like, oh, we're not talking anymore. And so then I text him, like, just a shitty, like, voice memo recording I had done of the songs. He hadn't heard it. He didn't even know about it. And so I messaged, I'm like, here, you know, whatever, suck on this or whatever stupid thing I said. And so I sent him this voice memo recording, and I get a message a couple minutes later that's like, yeah, whatever you sent me didn't work. I was like, oh, that was so anticlimactic. I was trying to drop the mic so hard. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, like, let me email it to you. And so I have to, like, email him this fucking song. And so I get another message, like, I don't know, maybe, like, another 5-10 minutes later, and he's like, well, it was something to the effect of, like, well, that really hurt my feelings, but it also may be the best song you've ever written. I was like, yeah, in your face, bitch! So that was really fun. So I totally did have that, like, T-Swift moment, definitely with him. And then I wrote, like, 4 or 5 other songs about this dude, of which it wasn't on purpose. They just kept coming out. I was real mad.
You're right.
I was real mad. To be fair, he was an epic piece of shit, so he kind of deserves it. But that's fine. It's whatever. But yeah, so 3 of the songs about him made the album, and then at a certain point I had to just be like, you have to stop.
Right.
So I have a couple other songs for the next album that are about him, so it's great.
Yeah.
Lots of fuel for the fire.
I think, I mean, obviously that's, I'm sure for you and any artist and stuff, like, going through heartbreak and different things, like, that's, I mean... I don't know how many, but there's, like, so many of my favorite records are either falling in love or falling out of love. But it's stuff that, obviously, that's what inspires a lot of writing. And it's hard to write when you're just, like, a regular day or whatever.
Right,
it's like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, so. I have that problem for sure where it is hard to write when you're, like, happy and content. It's like, well, what am I going to write about? I don't have anything, like... Because a lot of the writing process for me is sort of venting, you know, it's sort of therapy in its own way. And so it's like, well, if I don't have anything to get off my chest, what am I writing about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I can write, but definitely the best songs that I have are as a result of usually something like that or something, you know, something dramatic happens where you're like, oh, I'm so upset. When you write about it. So, yeah.
We mentioned this whole project will be available on May 11th at Off Broadway in St. Louis, Missouri. And I told you, Justin Johnson will be opening the show.
Yeah.
And then you're playing the middle slot.
Yes, with I've got my backup band Ross and Rob. We have a guest drummer, and then we have another special guest on keyboards. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, and that and which is cool too, because you don't play a ton with the band.
No, we've been sort of slacking. Well, so Mary left the band a couple months ago, our old drummer that we had for a few years, and then our trumpet player Chris moved to Colorado last July. So we were still kind of trying to figure that out after Chris left and then Mary left. So then it's just been like not a lot of impetus to play a ton of shows. So yeah, so I've been doing mostly solo stuff the last like year or so.
Right.
With a couple appearances here and there with the band. But
yeah, well, that's going to be a real treat. And then I think, and I told you off mic, but I think like this is like one of the best ways to do a release party, in my opinion. I've seen a few others do it in the past, and then but like you get one of your favorite bands to come rock the party after you, and you get to hang out and enjoy the show and get to, you know, sling some CDs or whatever. But Bruiser Queen's gonna close out the night, and they're so good.
They're so fucking good. Yeah. I'm such a fangirl for Bruiser Queen. I love them so much, musically and as people. They're just lovely human beings as well. But yeah, I totally agree. I thought about it, and I mean, part of it was like, it seemed a little, not that my music isn't fun and good, but it's just not as high energy as Bruiser Queen, and it seemed very anticlimactic to put them in the middle and have us play last just because we're the ones putting out an album. So I was like, you know what? I talked to Morgan and Jason, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to follow you guys. Like, you're going to close it out. You're going to headline my show. And they were like, I mean, you know, they're cool. They're like, dude, whatever you want us to do, that's totally, we're here for it. Yeah. So, of course, they're super easy to work with. But yeah, like you said, I think that's kind of the advantage is, and I sort of mentioned this, I put up a video a few weeks ago kind of talking about the album and the show coming up and stuff, and I think I mentioned in there, I was like, you know, the thing is, especially on a big show, like, I don't get nervous for a lot of shows, but especially on big shows when it's like an album release and you have like special guests, even if you've practiced a bunch, you're still just like, what's going to happen? Yeah. Hopefully it's going to go okay, you know, stuff like that. So it's very nerve-wracking. And there's just a million things to remember for a big show like that. And so I was like, the sooner I can get on stage and play my set and get the hell off the stage, the sooner I can chill the fuck out and just be like, okay, I did it. It was fun. And now I can hang out and party and have a good time. And it's, and I was joking. I was like, you know, not that I'm not going to enjoy Justin's set because he's amazing and I will enjoy the shit out of it. But I will also be insanely nervous while enjoying the shit out of Justin's set because then I'll have to go on after it and be like, oh no, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's going to be really fun. And I'm so glad, like, I'm just so lucky to have really cool people playing the show. I got super lucky on that. So
yeah. I think that's the coolest thing too, is to call on those buddies to come, you know, help you party, and so that's nice that they are there for you. And then so we'll have you did share online too that you're doing digital download codes.
So it's because it's 8 songs, and again, intro and outro are 2 of the tracks, which are like 30 seconds. So I mean, the album's only about 23 or so minutes long. I mean, you listen to it, it's pretty short. Short and sweet, one and done. And so it seemed a little silly to do CDs, which, you know, is like 70, 80 minutes of music for like 23 minutes of music. Like, really? What a waste of my money to make CDs. And so CDs have become like such a niche market anyway, where it's like it's very much in like 2 separate camps where you're people like, no, I still love CDs and I have a CD player in my car or whatever, this and that. And then you have people who are like, I haven't owned a CD player in years. I wouldn't know what to do with a CD if you gave it to me. And so I love CDs. But again, I'm 34. I grew up with them. So like I a lot of it for me is nostalgia, but same thing with tapes and records too. I mean, we're probably of the age where it's like, oh, you had the little Fisher Price turntable thing as a kid. And then you had cassette players and made mixtapes, and then you had CD players and made mixed CDs. And now we've come to the digital stuff. So I decided, kind of like I did with the last EP, where I did a 5x7 download card, which was front and back, and it looks really pretty, and the photography is amazing. And so this time it's going to be 4-sided, so it kind of looks like a greeting card. It's folded, you know, it's got 4 sides. So it's got the front and back cover like you did the last time, and then I got, you know, all the lyrics and the liner notes and a couple fancy pictures. Julianne Wise from Ghetto Rig Art, and she works down at Yaki's, you might know her from that. She did the photography, and she did such an amazing job on the photography for this album. I love it so much. It looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great shot on the cover for sure. Like,
I love it so much. Well, it was so funny because I was like, all right, the only prop, I'm going to bring two props. So I have a gas can and I have like a fistful of matches. And then I was just wandering around smoking a cigarette because that's what I do anyway. And so like, that's just me. That's not even part of the shoot. I'm just like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And it's so funny because like I was, a little background about me. I studied French in college, but before that I was a chemistry major. So I'm just enough of a science nerd to know stupid shit, like smoking a cigarette near gasoline isn't going to ignite anything. But a lot of people, you know, you watch action movies where like, you know, the guy flicks the cigarette and something explodes.
Walking slow-mo from a...
Right. Like, you see that in so many movies and it drives me fucking bonkers because it's just like, that's not how science works. They don't burn hot enough. The lighters will ignite it, but a cigarette will not ignite gas. But it's so funny how many people were like, oh, you're living so dangerously with your cigarette and your gas can. I was like, that's not going to do anything. Like, that's only dangerous if you don't know science. So, but yeah, it was really funny, like, of all the things. Because I just know that. Like, I've known that for so long, I forget that people don't know that.
I don't
and they see it in movies. And so I got a bunch of people when I posted that picture being like, that's really dangerous. I was like, that is not the response I expected at all. But you know what? It makes me look way more badass if you think it's dangerous. Right. So go right ahead.
It was so dangerous.
I live very dangerously. I'm a real badass, let me tell you. Oh my gosh.
Everything blew up right after this picture was taken.
We blew up Cherokee. So sorry.
Surprised you guys didn't hear about it on the news.
That's like, right. Yeah. We kept it on the down low. Didn't want all the press out there. But yeah.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, great. And I also like, you know, instead of just, you could have simply put the code on a card or what, you know, yeah. But I like that you put the detail of including your lyrics and the photography and everything. So, so you, it's like getting a CD just without the CD. So,
And that was always the thing that I nerded out about. Like every time I bought a CD growing up, first thing I would do was pull that booklet out and flip through it, read the lyrics, read the liner notes. Like, I mean, you know, I was that like 12-year-old who's like, oh, where was this recorded? Like, like I know where any of these places are. Okay. I'm 12, you know. But all that, like, liner notes, there's some, and just having something in your hand that you can, like, read and look at and have an experience with the music, it always really stuck with me, and that's part of what I like about CDs. So that was something that I really wanted to do with the download cards. And I did a little bit of it on the last one, but I think it's again, more involved this time around. But, the other thing that I realized with the last EP, because I was sort of trying to get feedback on, you know, how do people do download cards or what, you know, what as an audience member people do people engage with? And one of the pieces of feedback I got really frequently a few years ago when I was trying to figure this out was people don't mind download cards, but when you do the little business cards, a lot of people are like, yeah, I buy them, but then I like shove them in a pocket or shove them in my wallet or I fold them up and then I lose them or I forget about them and then I never listen to the music.
Goes through the wash.
Right, yeah. Or what? Yeah, absolutely. Or disappears with all those numbers from the hot girls you got at the bar or whatever. And so so that was the thing. I was like, all right, well, duly noted, no business cards for the album. So, and the other thing, my big beef with when people do business, and again, do your art however you want to. I'm not trying to tell people how to do their shit. But for me, you know, if you do this beautiful album art and then it becomes this little tiny thumbnail on a business card, it was like, what a waste of like a beautiful album cover that no one can see because it's, you know, a half an inch by half an inch on a business card. It's like, that's stupid. I want to see your album art. Like, you put time and effort into it. So that was the other thing too, is like, if you're going to go through the effort of making a decent album cover, like make sure people can see it, you know? Definitely. So that was the thing too. And like, not that I'm so vain to think that people want to, like, frame my album covers or anything. But if they wanted to, they look nice enough that I'm like, if people wanted to save this or wanted me to sign it for God knows why, it happens, I guess. You know, if it looks nice enough that it's a nice keepsake that people would want to maybe keep. So that's cool, too.
Yeah. Some maniacs have asked me for my autograph before, and I'm like,
isn't it so weird?
Get out of here.
Like, what are you going to do with this? Forged checks in my name? Because it's not worth anything. Like, what the fuck? You're going to be real disappointed about trying to write those checks, too, by the way.
you mentioned being that nerd that looks at where these things were recorded. And I guess let's talk about that. You did all this on your own this time?
I did, yeah. Why? Well, so the funny thing about this album was it wasn't really supposed to exist in the first place. So what happened was I was recording an album with my band, which we're still working on. It's done being recorded. It's being mixed right now. And I had been recording it a few years ago. Long story short, we recorded it in like 2013, 2014. The hard drive, my friend's hard drive crashed where we were recording it, and we lost it all. It was like 90% done, and I was crushed, and had like all these really great guests on it and stuff. Like, so many cool people had come in and done parts on this album, like strings and mandolin and banjo and all these cool things. And so, and when I lost it, I just couldn't even think about re-recording those songs for a few years. So we finally, a couple years ago, went back and started re-recording the album with that same person, my buddy Tom. And so we've been working on the full band. Well, there's the interesting thing for me, because I play both solo and with a band under the same name. It's almost like a Venn diagram of repertoires, where there's like some stuff I'll only do solo and some stuff I'll only do with the band. And then there's a little bit of overlap where it's like some songs I can kind of do both. Going Down is a great example. Love playing it solo, love playing it with the band. I can do it, whatever. But then there are songs like Fuck Off, where it doesn't sound right without drums. You know what I mean? You need that build. So it's like, I don't want to play that solo. I'm never going to play it solo. So stuff like that, where it's like, it's kind of usually one or the other, but sometimes both. But I had a few songs that I was like, well, these are never going to be songs for the band. Like, they're probably always going to be just solo songs, or at least for now. So I was going to record them just on my computer for myself, just to have them as solo recordings in case I ever needed someone to hear it, or whatever it was, you know, or if the band eventually learned it, they could hear it without me having to play it for them 800 times. So I started just kind of recording like that, and then it sort of slowly turned into like, oh, I guess this is an album now. And then I started adding other instruments, and it just became a whole thing. But yeah, it was never supposed to be an album. It was supposed to be just a couple little shitty recordings of a couple songs that didn't make that album. But this album got done first because I was working on it by myself, and I'm an insane person and a workaholic, and so I just sit there for hours, just like in front of my computer by myself, mixing and recording stupid parts and doing all this crazy stuff, and so now it's an album.
There you go.
So yeah, so the next album is already done being recorded, which is great. So it'll probably be a little while till that one comes out, but that one's done and ready too. So
what do you feel like the biggest thing you learned from, you know, stepping away from a studio setting kind of thing and doing it by yourself this time?
Well, that's a great question. It's so much easier to have someone else do it if you're working with someone you like. I don't particularly like studio recording. I find it very difficult compared to live playing. Like, I can get up on a stage and play a set for a bunch of people and it's fine and do that, and I'm super comfortable with that. There's something about recording that can be very sterile, and you feel like, you know, everything has to be perfect. And especially the one thing I super hate is recording instruments with microphones. I understand why people do it, but I just hate it because you have to stand so still, and it's so uncomfortable, and it's so distracting. and there's like this windscreen in your face every time you sing. Oh, I hate everything about it. It's the worst.
Right.
So that is one thing, is I really enjoy having other people record me, just because I don't have to do any of that stuff. I don't have to know what's going on. I just have to show up and do my part, and it's fine, which is much easier for me. But the nice thing is I can kind of go at my own pace. The flip side of that is I can, like I said, I kind of screwed around with different instruments that were built in a garage band and playing like synth MIDI instruments and stuff, and could kind of throw ideas against the wall and see what stuck. And if I didn't like it, you just delete it. Right. No big deal. It doesn't have to be on the album. And I would have felt terrible doing that to an engineer and being like, let's just sit here for 2 hours while I fuck around and don't know what I'm doing on an instrument that I don't play. So they both have their pros and cons for sure. Like, if I have somebody else recording me, I try to go in and know what I'm doing and knock it out and get it done.
Sure.
Yeah, as quickly as possible.
You're on the clock. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, well, especially if you're paying for studios, you know, by the hour, definitely important there. But But even if it's, you know, your buddy recording you, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, have some respect for their time and come fucking prepared.
Yeah.
But that's the nice thing about doing it by yourself is, like, the only person whose time I'm wasting is my own. So.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. There we go. I did like that.
Well, let's give them another. This is, we'll share one from the record.
Yeah.
Give them a little sneak peek of what you were working on, like a maniac. let's share Tell Them So.
Tell Me So, yeah.
Tell Me So, yeah. Sorry. Which one of them I picked out. This is, I particularly enjoy this track.
Yeah, and, it's kind of poppy for a CZQ song.
Yeah. you want to share around this story?
Sure. So this is one of the other songs about that dude, one of the three. And so, interestingly, one of the first songs... So there's two songs on ukulele on this album. And it's the first time I've recorded ukulele. It's the first time I've written songs on ukulele. So that was sort of a new experience for me, for sure. But it's... this might be my favorite song on the record, too. It's hard to pick, of course. But, you know, it's like having a favorite kid. Everybody says that. They're my babies. I can't pick a favorite. It's like, yeah, but I do kind of love this one a lot. It turned out like weirdly poppy and upbeat for me, which I was very surprised, like pleasantly surprised about. But I was like, oh, that's different. I don't think people expect that. So,
yeah, maybe that's what it is. Like I just kind of, but I think there's something about just even ukulele, just the tone and everything, obviously. Yeah. You could be singing the darkest stuff over it, but it's going to sound like a happy pop song. Yeah. Because you think of Island and everything else, you right. know, like this, that kind of, that's where your mind goes hearing that, totally. Hearing the ukulele and those, that tone and stuff. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyway, yeah, it's a little more feel good, yeah. song, even though it's
Not lyrically, but, no, yeah, but sonically, yes.
Right. Yeah. So, but this was, yeah, this was a lot of fun. So thanks. Check that out. So along with the release party, obviously that's the big one. We want you to come back off Broadway with
everybody
us.
Everybody come. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have new fancy merch for sale, too, at the show, so...
Yeah, you said you're getting some koozies?
I'm getting some koozies! So, and they have a cat and a unicorn on them, because, well, if you know me, you're like, well, of course they fuck you. And if you don't, now you know, that sums up my essence pretty concisely. It's kittens and unicorns.
All right. Yeah. I mean, what else do you need?
Right. I mean, I refer to my... I say it in jest, my quote-unquote fan club, like... Like, I'm so popular or whatever, but I refer to them as cunicorns. So, because I'm that kind of dork. But yeah, so there's koozies coming. And I think I'm going to make another button that's real cute. Morgan from Bruiser Queen and I are going to work on some buttons, I think. And there's a couple singles that have been up on my Bandcamp for download, but they've never been available at a show. So it's funny that I was talking about like download cards and business cards earlier because I'm doing those for the singles. I'm like, full albums like do a bigger thing, but I was like, for singles, it's fine, whatever.
All right.
It's whatever. So, but there will be those too. They're very cute. So yeah, all kinds of fun stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we do have a couple other dates around town that you can come see Susie play.
Yeah.
And coming up real soon is April 27th. Mm-hmm. You'll be out in Maplewood area at Living Room.
Yes.
And this is a pizza party, you said?
It's a pizza party! I'm so excited, yeah. Yeah, basically that's it. So I think the shtick is, if I'm not mistaken, it's $40 and you get an 18-inch, which is fucking gigantic, pizza. And you get, I think...
That's actually the size of it. Fucking gigantic.
That's right. Yeah. That's what it says on the menu. I'm just quoting. And I think you get some drinks and something like that, too. But yeah, so it's I'm playing a couple hours. It was so funny. They're so sweet. And I was like, so question, is this a family-friendly engagement? Because I can do that. I'm not super great at it. And they're like, I mean, like, PG-13 would be great. I was like, all right, that's a fair compromise. I can do that. So it'll be real fun to watch me try not to say the F word a bunch. That's always a fun challenge for me. But I love that place. Yeah. And pizza. So that'll be super fun. Obviously family friendly, all ages, all that stuff. Yeah.
As long as you don't mind right. A couple of curse words.
Yeah, I'll probably say like crap a few times.
I think there's one, I was kind of laughing to myself thinking it could be a fun, almost drinking game or something.
Oh, no.
Of saying shit on the record.
Dude, for sure.
There's definitely.
You'll be drunk just from the first verse and tell me so. Because
yeah.
I think I say it
right.
Four times or something in the first verse. Like every line starts with the word shitty. And it was so funny because I went to do some show a little while ago and it was family friendly. And of course in my head I'm thinking, oh, tell me so, like this great, cute song. Like that'd be a great one. And then I like thought about it and I was like, that's like the worst possible song to play in front of children. You say shit so many times, Susie, like don't do it. Yeah, so needless to say, like half the album I can't play at the Living Room show.
You gonna do some covers since you're gonna
yes I'm gonna do a bunch of covers.
Yeah.
I am gonna do some originals too, but yes, I do have a bunch of covers. I have to do, I think it's 2 45-minute sets, so lots of time to fill. And I don't have enough originals without cuss words, so
break out some of that, no
yeah.
doubt.
No, God, no. You can't do that. So well, I can't do that. So well. Maybe you can. No, but I got. Trying to think. I've got a Nico Case cover on there. I do Sea of Love pretty frequently at some of my shows. So I'm doing that. It's all kinds of fun stuff. I think there's a Bob Dylan cover on the set list. So yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be another fun night, and yeah, I can't go wrong with some pizza.
Saturday night in Maplewood, pizza and coffee.
Yeah. And then every first Thursday of the month, you're out at Venice Cafe.
Yes, my home away from home.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing that now?
Holy crap. Almost, it'll be 7 years in July.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's very crazy. Which in like, it's sort of like dog years where like musician years are much longer than normal years. So it's really like 100 years that I've been doing the show. Not quite that long. But, you know, I mean, most gigs, you know, they don't last that, you know, even if you do a regular gig, whether sure. it's weekly or monthly or whatever it is, you know, it's like, man, you get a year or two out of that, and that's great.
Yeah.
So
I work Oyster Bar, like I was telling you about, and, yeah. and Sean Cannon,
he's one that's,
he does Wednesdays there,
yeah.
and he's done, you know, he takes a handful off, but every Wednesday for 5 years, and I'm like, man, that's insane.
Well,
like,
he does a different band every week, too. Oh, that's the even crazier part. Right. It's like, man, I'm just showing up and playing my usual shit. Like, that's whole next level to do a different band every week for 5 years. I mean,
it's very impressive, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. But, man, that's so impressive to yeah. me. That's so cool.
Well, we got another big night, and this is so it's three bands.
Yes, it's three bands for $5 now.
Yeah.
For many years, it was. Three bands for $3. It was buck a band.
But I do like that it's 3, 4, 5.
I know it's 3, 4, 5 now. Yeah. I know, because I was like, man, it's been three bands, $3, you know, for so long, for like seriously 6.5 years. And so, yeah, it was one of those things that I've been thinking about it for a long time.
It's inflation. It's going to get you.
Inflation's going to get, I mean, shit, man, that was a good run for $3. You got to admit, that was 6.5 years.
This is a great, this is a great joke from, Nick Thune. You ever
no.
listen to his stuff? He's one of my favorite comics, but he talked about inflation in a bit, and he's talked about Arby's, how they had like the 5 for $5 on the roast beef and beef and cheddars and stuff. And he's like, when I was 12 years old, Arby's had the 5 for $5 deal. And he's like,
right.
when I'm 30, they had the 5 for $5 deal. And he was like, how do they, you know, he's like, and then I guess they finally got rid of that. But he's like,
yeah,
but
lost their asses on that one. Yeah,
but it was just funny how that, how long they had that promotion going.
Right, it's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, we kept it going as long as we could. And finally, I had been thinking about it for a long time, and I was trying to figure out, like, okay, well, how do you change the name of a regular show without changing the show? And so, so we finally came up with the 3, 4, 5, which is cool. And management actually was the one that approached me and was like, do you want to up it to $5? And I was like, I would love to, actually, but I was a little reticent about it until they asked, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, and incidentally, the first show that we did for $5, Bruiser Queen was doing their residency at the same time, so they overlapped. So they had approached me and were like, hey, we want to do this residency at Venice, but we're doing Thursdays. One of them is one of your shows. Can we jump on? And I was like, yeah, I already have three bands, though, so here's what we're going to do. So that was the month we bumped it. Three bands for $5, but then you got a bonus fourth band as sort of a nice easing into the inflation.
Yeah.
So it was really four bands for $5.
Right.
And now it's regularly three for $5. So so I always play. Usually I'm solo, although a lot of months Rob Bell, my trombone player, will come and play a few songs with me on those, and then two other groups or folks or who, you know, whether they're solo or bands, but I try to mix it up and do all kinds of genres. I've had rap, I've had crazy loud bands and indie rock and everything in between, country. God, I've got country and western.
Both kinds
of music. That's right.
Yeah. Starting May 2nd, the next your next Thursday, we'll have yourself along with the Hollow Inns and Adam Gaffney and the Highway Saints.
Yes, and it's Adam's birthday show that night, so come wish Adam Gaffney a happy birthday. Come hug the birthday boy and give us your money.
And both Adam and Zach of the Hollow Inns are both fantastic writers.
They really are. They're both so good.
It's going to be a real fun night for sure.
Yeah.
So
I'm sandwiching between two very talented dudes, which sounded really gross. I'm sorry, dudes. Sorry, Adam and Zach. I didn't mean to make that nasty for you.
Somebody's going to isolate that for sure.
Please gift that somebody. Yeah. Oh, wait. That's video. Shit.
We can make ringtones.
That's right. Oh, God. Yeah. Put it in one of my side project songs as a clip. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Just sample it in a hip hop song. So.
That's right. That'll be my next project.
There you go. But yeah, so you can find all this information and more everything at the your Bandcamp page.
Yes.
You can grab some singles. Is the record available for pre-order there?
It's not. No. I'm going to put it up, I think, the day after the album release. It'll be on Bandcamp. So in the meantime, I think it's on iTunes and Spotify, I believe. So I'm told.
Yeah.
I don't do Spotify. I'm one of those assholes. So I can't check. But rumor on the streets is you can get it on iTunes and Spotify already. And it'll be on Bandcamp in a couple weeks, or I guess a few weeks, whenever the show is, real soon.
Yeah.
I have no sense of time anymore. I'm just like, oh God, so many things are happening. Yeah, but the first two albums are on Bandcamp. 11 Years of Lo-Fi was the first one. I did a CD for that. You can get the CD on there too. So It Goes was the EP that I did the download card for. So you can get that. And then there's a few singles, one of them being a rap song about cats that I did a few years ago. So you can get all kinds of weird stuff there.
And you can follow Susie on Facebook.
Yes.
And that's Susie Q. C U. Or C U E. Man. Wow.
Yes.
Letter
Q.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to my brain there, but. yeah, you can find all that stuff. Do you do the Instagram or anything? Sort of.
I don't really do a music page on Instagram. Okay. Like, I just have one, so it's pretty. Like, so if you go and search me, you'll find me, but you can't see anything cool. And honestly, most of it's my fucking cats. Which, if you're into, that's by all means, like, go ahead and follow me. But it's not. Not very like music specific.
I mean, they are cute.
They're very cute. Somebody was like, so I have a somewhat infamous cat named Squeezebox, and I say that he's somewhat infamous because people who I'm Facebook friends or Instagram friends with will come up to me, and I'll know them in passing, of course, because it's St. Louis, we know everybody. And so, but people come up to me and just be like, I love your cat so much. And I totally understand, because I also love my cat so much. But most of these people have not met my cat. So it's just through, like, pictures and videos and shit. And I totally understand, he's amazing, and totally ridiculous. But he has arguably as big a following as I do, if not a bigger one, because he's just so cute. But somebody was like, Squeezebox needs his own Instagram page. And I was like, that would be great, except I don't know what the fuck would be on my Instagram page then, because 90% of it is my cats.
Right.
So I'm real boring on Instagram without my cats, so that's probably not going to happen. But yes, yeah. So, Instagram kind of. Twitter, I'm on there. I don't check it that often. I forget it exists, to be honest. So, I go like 3 weeks and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that was an app on my phone. Shit. So you can follow me on Twitter, but I'm sorry if it takes me forever to get back to you.
It is kind of weird that we are in that era where, like, you know, everybody follows you online and then they'll make comments. Like, I post a lot of junk, I realize that, but people will come, like, won't interact online, but then I'll see them out, they'll like talk about it, and I'm like, and it's just, you know, I forget that people actually see all that stuff,
right?
Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, so it makes me laugh, like, when people like talk about it, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird that they know. I mean, obviously I'm putting it out there, but it's just like, you just don't think about it, like,
it's right. Well, and it's weird too for me, because it's like I have fairly bad facial recognition. Like, it just takes me a while to like place people's faces in a context, and especially if I haven't seen you a bunch of times, it'll take me a while. And if I'm only Facebook friends with you and I never see you in person, I will probably look at you like I don't know you. And I am an asshole, but that's not why I do it. It's literally my brain just like searching through all the things, being like, why do I know this person? Why do I know this person? And trying to connect dots. Well, and especially like half the people don't even have their faces, their Facebook profile.
Good. Dogs.
Right, or, you know, or little logos or whatever it is. That's fine. But, like, don't be surprised when I don't know what the fuck your face looks like in person. Because even if you do have your face, you know, again, back to that little thumbnail thing. I was like, man, I can't match this little thumbnail up to, like, a real person standing in front of me. So I'm really bad at recognizing people. So by all means, like, if I look at you like I don't know you, it's not intentional. Please come say hi anyway. Please regale me with love of my cats.
Yep.
Feel free to be like, hey, I'm this person, I'm your Facebook friend, and I'll be like, oh, I totally know who you are. It happens all the time, and I always feel really bad that I don't recognize people, but it's just something that I've learned to accept about myself. I'm really bad at it. So sorry in advance.
Yeah.
Promise I'm not trying to be a dick.
I wrote the other day that I'm not accepting any more friend requests from people that have dogs as their picture, and we have two mutual friends. So I was like, I don't know I don't know that many dogs.
Right. For real. But it's so funny, because it's like, so often dudes that I'm like, who the fuck are you, try to friend me, and they never have any profile picture that you can see. And I'm like, look, dudes, I know that you don't think about this because you're dudes and you don't have to deal with dudes. But as a woman who has to deal with some very creepy dudes from time to time. Right. Some very creepy dudes and lots of wonderful dudes, but you never know until it's too late which ones are creepy. If you friend me and I don't know who you are and I can't figure out who you are, I'm just not going to add you because it's creepy. Why don't you have your face on your, like, why are you friending random women?
Right.
And they can't identify who you are. That is creepy. PSA men. Very creepy. Stop.
Yeah.
So that's my Facebook PSA. Put your fucking face on there. It's called Facebook. For God's sakes. So, end rant.
There it is.
Somebody can sample that too.
Yep.
Put your goddamn face on Facebook. Good lord.
Again, we've been talking a lot about it, but
yeah.
We got this big party. It's going to be a great night off Broadway. One of my favorite rooms, obviously.
Same.
It's an incredible space over there, and been to many, many great shows over there. So
yep.
It's going to be another one. May 11th, Bruiser Queen, Suzy Q, Justin Johnson. And if you don't know Justin, he's been playing around St. Louis for many years in various projects. I know he's Fog Lights and Pretty Little Empire.
Yep, and the Jump Starts.
Yeah,
and then he does some solo stuff too, obviously. But
right.
All phenomenal bands, and they all have albums out, and they're great, and you should get them.
Yep. So it's gonna be a cool night, and I really appreciate you doing this. It's been a whole lot of fun hanging out.
Thanks
again.
Thanks for having me back, man. I appreciate
time. It. It's kind of crazy that we really like met through podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, we talked, I think it was three.
Yeah.
At least three years ago.
It would have been 3 years ago, 2016. Yeah,
we talked you and Robin, and so it's kind of crazy that that's where this all started, and now we've become buddies and over the years and all this stuff.
And I get to be back on your podcast, which is always fun. Right. Thank you so much for having me, Shane.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and thanks to Jeff and Randy for letting us hang out here. And
hell yeah!
So come on down to St. Louis Style House, pick up some sweet new shirts.
Yeah, and we'll have a booth at Cinco de Mayo as always. So come on down May 4th.
Yep.
And come say hi to all of us.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you again, and
thank you.
I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Bye, everyone.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.